Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production. Russell Talk in the D with Martez starts right now. Good evening, happy Sunday to everybody on this Memorial Day Eve right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. My name is Martez and I am very thankful to be back with you all again. For those of you that are listening, for those of you that have carved out some time to listen to this wrestling radio show, I understand that there's a whole bunch of wrestling radio shows, podcasts, you name it. It's like the field is stacked. The field is stacked with so many people talking about wrestling. I'm just happy that you guys decided to listen to my show whenever you are listening. But again, this is Wrestle Talking to D. My name is Martez. I am your host. I am your driver for tonight. We got a special show for you tonight. I mean, every show is special. Let me pause and get my words together. Every show is special. Every show is big time. Every show is huge. But we do have a good show planned for you today. Not sure how long I'll be with you all today, but we'll see how it goes. But first, before I get into everything else, I want to pause and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I realize, as I always say this, without God, there's no me. You know, without his ability, I can't do what I'm doing right now. I can't act like I know what I'm talking about. You know, without the Lord present me with this tongue and this mouth and this brain. So I got to give all credit to him in that area. So today we're going to be talking about a little bit of Double or Nothing. We're going to be talking about a few other things in the world of wrestling. But we do have a special interview coming up at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We are scheduled to talk to NWA pro wrestler Camille. I am very happy to do this interview today. Every wrestler can't be your favorite, okay? Every wrestler, there's just so many wrestlers. So how can you like every wrestler out there? That's kind of impossible for you to like every wrestler out there. But Miss Camille from the NWA, she's one of those wrestlers. She's one of those performers that I'm a fan of. I'm a huge fan of hers, and I'm happy that she decided to come on this show tonight. So she should be calling in at around 7 p.m. Eastern time. But until she calls in, we're going to talk about a little bit of wrestling. And I know there's been so much sadness going on in the world of wrestling. So many sad things going on in the world of wrestling. And I am sensitive to those that have lost. I mean, those wrestlers that have passed on this week. Very sensitive to that. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to leave all the sadness talk to all the other podcasters, all the other wrestling radio shows. I'm definitely not here to talk about sadness tonight. You know, like I said, I am sensitive to those wrestlers that have passed away. But tonight is not about a night of sadness. You know, all those other podcasters can talk about that. All those other wrestling radio hosts can talk about that. But this is Russell talking to D. And Miss Camille, she's on our call list right now, and we're going to bring her on in a moment. But before we bring her on, I always say this. No one has to accept your invitation. No one has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to graduation. It could be an invitation to a wedding. Nobody has to accept your invitation. So I'm always honored and blessed when these wrestlers say yes to my invitation, because I know they have busy lives and things of that nature. But right now I'm going to be bringing to you today one of the best things going on in the world of wrestling today. I think she's one of the best performers. I think she's one of the most entertaining people in the wrestling world. She's a very successful woman, person, from what I see, from what I read. So we are happy to be able to bring on Camille, NWA Pro Wrestler, on for Wrestle Talking to D. So without further ado, let's bring her on. Hey, Miss Camille.
Hello.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm so happy that we were able to get this done this week, and I apologize about last week.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, at least we figured out a way to make it happen.
That's what's up. Okay, so I'm gonna get right into it, because I know we're not working with a lot of time. But I know you've probably been asked this question so much, but this is your first time on Wrestle Talking to D. So for my viewers, could you tell us, how did you get involved with pro wrestling? How did pro wrestling fall into your lap, so to speak?
Well, after college, I tried the kind of normal job route and then quickly realized that wasn't really feeling that. So time I was back home, and me and my dad, we went to just like some random indie show kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, it was one of those shows where the ceiling was so low that no one could even get on the top rope. But I was just having a blast. I thought it was hilarious, fun, a good time. And I kind of woke up the next morning and had an epiphany. I was like, why didn't I think of this before? Like, I was meant to be a professional wrestler, because I played sports forever. I actually used to do a little acting when I was younger, and I mean, it's a mix of both. So I just Googled how to become a professional wrestler, and the journey started there.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So, I mean, okay, now we know that you're in wrestling right now. But I do want to ask this question. How long did it take you for you to get used to the bumps? If I can get my words together, how long did it take you to get used to the bumps and the everything that goes along with wrestling in the ring? Like, how long did that take for you to get used to all that?
Well, I mean, I'm still working on everything in the ring. I think that's something that, I mean, you just work on forever. I mean, technically in the wrestling world, I'm still green. When it comes to all of that, but just your body kind of adjusting to it. I'm trying to remember back to school, because I went to Team 3D Academy in Florida, and there bump day was a huge deal. You had to earn bump day there. You didn't just go to school the first day and start taking bumps. You weren't even allowed to get into the ring until you passed some physical tests there. I mean, it was the real deal type of school. So when I finally got to bump, and our bump day, you know, you'd have to hold the squat position until your legs were shaking and you didn't think you could do it anymore. So it was an honor to have bump day there. And I want to say, I mean, I think because the build up to it was so exciting and so great that it didn't like hurt per se. It was just more of a surprise feeling, you know, there's so much build up to it. honestly, what surprised me the most was running the ropes. For me, I mean, that's what hurt my body the most and really tore it up and gave you a whole bunch of bruises, and your body had to get super callous to run in the ropes.
Wow. Wow, that's a... You're providing us with a lot of information to start off this interview. So I understand you're with the NWA Power, and I'm definitely going to get into that a little bit later. But I want to know, because I know I've seen a lot of things about you. You've done a lot. You've played football, played softball. You're an entrepreneur, which I want to talk about a little bit later. But how do you handle all that? How do you handle all of that success? Because it seems like you're a very successful person. How do you handle all that?
Honestly, as since the time that I was, I want to say, I mean, even doing middle school sports, I have always been pretty, you know, naturally gifted in an athletic sense. But I knew that I still had to work hard, and I wanted to be the best all the time. So I would continue to, you know, work my ass off. And I think that handling success has been maybe easier for me, and I've been able to keep more of a level head than some people that experience it late in life, just because I always have had sort of, you know, experience, not necessarily success, but kind of being, having to be in the spotlight, whether it's, you know, the at bat that's going to try to win the game, or the, you know, the volley that's going to win the, anything like that. I've had to kind of, I've had that pressure on me before, and I failed. I mean, I have failed before. So I think just knowing that I've experienced failure, I've experienced success, and a little bit in between keeps me level-headed and appreciative of everything.
See, that's awesome that you said that, because a lot of people, like, they don't really know you. Like, we don't really know you. Like, we see you on TV. We may see you on social media, but we don't really know that you go through struggles. We don't really know that you had to work hard to get where you at. You know, because a lot of us, we could put you all in categories, like everything is just given to you and you didn't have to work hard for nothing. So I definitely respect the fact that you broke that down, and you letting the world know that, like, you're still working. You're still a work in progress.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing about it, too, is I'm not even going to try to quote whatever quote this is, but in summary, it was saying something about, you know, people, they see you kind of, quote, unquote, at the top or high up. And they think that you're an overnight success, or that, like, oh, you just got handed that. You did that. No one sees the behind. No, pretty much no one is an overnight success. You only think that because you just now seen them in that spotlight. Of course, you're not going to see them when they're down in the trenches. So I think that that's kind of silly for anyone to assume about anybody.
Right. It is. Like, and I remember because I have, like, at my church, I got, like, a position at my church. And, you know, people just think it's just easy to live this certain lifestyle, but they don't realize, like, it's a day-to-day fight, you know, living
every,
a lifestyle
of course,
of having a title, you know what I mean? So I definitely understand that. Now I'm going to ask you a similar question. Now, how do you handle dealing with, like, people that's trying to grab your attention? Now, I know you're in this business to succeed, but, like, I use myself for example. Like, people ask you to do interviews, or people ask you to do different projects. How do you handle that? Because I'm pretty sure you probably get a lot of people trying to hit you up on a regular.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it too is just knowing your value and knowing your worth. And at the end of the day, this is a business. I think, for instance, if someone you know wants my time. It is, like you said at the beginning of the show, it is my time, and, you know, I want to have a good time with people. I want to be able to talk and stuff like that, but it is a business, and I am my own business, and if people don't respect that, like, if they would like to book me, you know, to talk, do anything, and I tell them my rate, for instance, or anything, and then this is the best, when they just don't reply. They see that I have a rate, and then I'm not going to do it for free, and I don't even get a reply. And that happens all of the time. And that's when I'm like, okay, well, then I'm no longer going to take you serious as a business person, because obviously you're not. So I think it's just finding the people out there that kind of know what they're investing in, know what they're paying for, and also respect me for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, indeed. I do. I feel you. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're here to survive out here, you know, and, We got to make money. We got to provide for ourselves and our family. So I totally get it. I totally get it. Now,
yeah.
We're talking to Miss Camille. I hope she don't mind me calling her Miss Camille. I think.
Are you fine?
Yeah. First, I'm just gonna be real with you. You're one of my favorite people in the world of wrestling, and I'm not trying to have a slob fest or anything like that, or but I'm just being honest, like because I've always been a WWE guy, and I'm just gonna be honest with you. But I remember turning on NWA Power, and I saw you on there, and like you just won me over just like that because your presence, you know, and the way you told a story with your character. And I hope you don't mind me saying character because I don't know if you want to stay in kayfabe. Anyway, let me be quiet.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine.
You won me over with your character, and you got me hooked, and then Mr. Aldis got me hooked, and then everybody else kind of got me hooked. But how was it working at NWA Power? You know, how did you get involved with them and so forth? If you could just – how did you get involved with NWA Power and – whatever else you want to say about NWA Power, go ahead.
Yeah, so what happened was actually I thought I was done with wrestling. I had lived in Florida for 3 years from training, and I just kind of got burnt out by it. Coming from a sports background, didn't really realize the types of people involved in wrestling and the types of stuff that went down, and I wasn't really about that. I have very high moral standards for myself. And
amen.
I was just kind of burnt out of it all, and I was done for a bit. So I moved back home and just try to regroup and figure out what I wanted to do. And then actually I got a phone call from David Lagana, who had been kind of following my career anyways. And he was just like, hey, are you really done wrestling? And at that point, I'd been out of it for a bit, and I was kind of missing it. And I just said, why, what's up? Like, what you got for me? and he explained to me the deal. He explained to me that it could be, you know, it might just be a one-off, that it's kind of a little experiment almost, that they want kind of like a female bodyguard-type presence for Nick Aldis for the NWA 70th show, which was kind of the first show for this reemergence, this new NWA. And I was like, that sounds great, because it worked out for both of us at the time, because we didn't know what it was going to turn into. If I didn't like it, if I wasn't feeling it, I didn't have to do anything with it. And same for them. If the chemistry wasn't there, if it wasn't going to work, you know, thanks for coming. Glad to have you. Bye. And then so NWA 70 happened. And I mean, I had a great time. The crowd was insane in Nashville. Yeah. At the fairgrounds, and we just kind of went from there. I mean, I remember too. We laugh about it now because everyone was kind of like, "What in the world? Like, what is this all about?" And kind of confused. But then Nick with Camille became a thing, and like if you didn't see Nick with Camille, it was weird.
Right.
So that's just kind of how all that evolved. And then working for NWA Power, I mean, it's been great just because it is such a small team, and I went to a small college. I love that family feel. I don't want to feel like a number. So that's my favorite thing about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let me ask you like a silly question. Do you ever like a lot of the clips that I've seen you in, a lot of the shows, like you own cold serious face. Have you ever had a situation where you almost broke character and laughed or something? Like how do you keep yourself from laughing if you want to laugh, but you got to be serious?
I've had like even on shows that you've never seen, because it was like when we were doing like random promotion shows and stuff like that. I've had other managers and stuff like in my face trying to tell me jokes to get me to laugh and everything. And for some reason, when I'm Camille, it's actually very easy to stay in character. I really don't know why. It just is for me. Only time that I almost kind of like it was very, very hard. I don't even remember at this point who was talking, but it was at like a press conference type of thing at it's called TNT Tried and True Professional Wrestling. We had a little press conference because NWA did a show with them, and it was like a merger show. But you can kind of see me in the background, my lips like twitching a little bit because I'm trying to hold it together. But that's probably the only time.
Okay. That's cool. Like, you answer these questions pretty well. So you give me all the goods and whatever. So we only got a few minutes to go. I'm kind of too honest about what's going on. So, like, what's your goals at the end of the day? Do you want to be the women's champion of NWA?
My goals at the end of the day, you know, having the women's championship, I mean, that's most people's kind of pinnacle, and I definitely understand that. Honestly, before I get there, I want to show people a little bit more of what I can do, who I am, because, I mean, I just got in the ring. My first match, obviously, was a very short match, so they haven't seen anything yet. And also a championship, it'd be an honor, of course, but it's not something that I think I need at the moment.
Right.
Because, you know, the fans are with me, and they want to see me no matter what. So I do think that's a goal for the future, but for the immediate future, I'm just trying to get in the ring and kick some ass. And I just want people to see that I can go and that I can talk too, because that's my favorite thing ever. And actually me and Lagana and Billy all laugh about this because people are like, oh, she must not talk. They must not have her talking because she can't cut a promo. She must not have a good personality. And I mean, we just think it's hilarious behind the scenes because everybody knows that I can talk all day.
I can see now that you can. I mean, I can hear now that you can go for sure. How was it? Because I think this is one of the best storylines ever in the world of professional wrestling. The fact that you didn't speak for a long period of time. You know, I really do think that's one of the best stories ever. What was that like going through that? You know, that particular storyline where you couldn't speak.
The funny thing about that is, and I'm going to throw him under the bus here a little bit, is that Dave acted like that was kind of the plan from the get-go, like from the very beginning, and that's not necessarily the case. It kind of just organically happened. They didn't really have any spots for me to ever talk or anything like that. It just never kind of came up. And then we realized with my facials and stuff, like, oh, I can just talk with my face. I don't even need to speak. And then we made it into a thing, like, well, why isn't she speaking? And people kept asking, you know, why isn't she speaking? So then we made it a thing. So it happened very organically. It wasn't like – it really was not some mastermind from the, you know, the origins of Camille being created. It just kind of happened along the way, and then we realized the response it was getting, and we were like, shit, let's just go with it. And so later on, it was kind of like, all right, I'm ready. Well, and not necessarily even on the show. I mean, I could have gone another few years without talking on the show with that. Fine with me, but my own personal brand and social media and stuff like that was getting hard because, you know, I was trying to keep it kayfabe with my social medias and not talk on those because I didn't want to ruin the mystique. So that part of it was starting to get a little bit tough.
Gotcha. Hey, you guys are hearing it first, you know, the real behind Camille not being able to speak for that long period of time. All right, now as we prepare to close, I want to shift, if you don't mind, if you have anything going on. I know you have a lot of projects, you have business endeavors, you have businesses, you have things you promote. Is there anything you would like to talk about in terms of that, your business?
Yeah, my kind of biggest project that I've been getting into, and it just started with this whole quarantine thing going on because obviously – we are not able to do any live shows. And I was like, well, what else can I do? And I've always thought about YouTube. But the thing is, people don't realize that, like, making money on YouTube and stuff, it's really hard. You have to have a large following. You have to have you have to reach a certain amount of, like, view hours and all this stuff to start making money. And so you have to kind of grind it out for a while and not making any money and feeling like no one's watching your stuff. But now, like, finally, I'm able to get monetized, and my subscribers are growing every day. So that's what I'm working on because I would, you know, it's my outlet to be creative and show people kind of myself. And then there's some other times that I can play little skits and stuff where I am in character. And I just like YouTube because it's whatever I want it to be. And so if people want to check that out, that's just YouTube, and you can look up Camille Brickhouse, and then you'll find all my videos there.
Fantastic. Well, I just want to be respectful of the time. Just want to say thank you for coming on to this show, Russell Talking to D. You could have said no, but I appreciate you saying yes. You've been a blast, and I hope we can do this again for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I had fun.
All right, thank you, and I'll definitely send you a thank you letter later on tonight, okay?
Yeah. All right, awesome. All right, bye. All right.
Yeah, God bless. All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. One of the best, I mean, I'm serious, one of the best performers, the best, how should I put this? One of the more intriguing and interesting characters in the world of wrestling today. Camille from the NWA. She seems very down to earth. She seems pretty cool, you know. And you never know what an interview is going to be like when you do an interview, so I'm always happy when I feel like the interview went well. And we want to thank Camille for coming on to the show today. We want to take a quick break. We want to play a little Sasha Banks when we come back. I might have a few things to talk about. I don't know. We're just going to have to find out. Talking to D with Martez right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. And we're gonna jump into a few things tonight regarding wrestling. You know, I always was told this. I was always told that, you know, the longer you're around somebody, the longer you're with somebody, the more you'll know about somebody. And I wonder if many of you can relate to that. The more you're around somebody, the more you work with somebody, the more you are in relations with somebody, the more you know that person. And we know people that we've been friends with for a long time. We know people that we didn't date for a long time. We know people we didn't work with for a long time. And throughout that period of time, you begin to know a little bit more about them. And the reason I'm setting up this next, I'm beginning to know that some of you wrestling fans out there are not good people. The more I stay on social media, the more I do my thing on social media, whether it's promoting, whether it's talking about wrestling, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm starting to understand with me being on social media for a long time now, about 4 years, and it being in communication with wrestling fans, I'm starting to realize that who some of these wrestling fans really are. And let me tell you what I'm going to say here. Let me just break it down. Some of you wrestling fans out here are some of the most, and I'm just going to cut it to you like this, some of the most rude, some of the most disrespectful, some of the most how should I put this? Some of the most borderline evil people in the world. You know, some of you all are taking shots at Becky Lynch for being pregnant. You know, some of you all are saying Becky Lynch, she was stupid for getting pregnant. I just think that's asinine, and it shows how pathetic some of you wrestling fans are as humans. It shows that you really don't have a soul, you know. And it seems as if some of you wrestling fans could complain about everything. It's one thing not to agree with things that go on in the world of wrestling, but I'm starting to realize that some of you wrestling fans complain about everything, and it's because you spoil. And I'm going to say it. So wrestling fans, to some degree, the majority of wrestling fans are spoiled. You know when somebody is spoiled, when somebody thinks they can say whatever they want, whenever they want, with no repercussions. Now, that TNT title that was introduced last night at Double or Nothing, it wasn't the most impressive title that I've seen in my lifetime. However, I go into the comment section, go into a few comment sections, and some of these fans are losing their mind about this title. These fans are just saying the most egregious and crazy things. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that serious. This isn't life or death. This wrestling stuff isn't life or death. This wrestling stuff isn't important like that. This wrestling stuff is not it's not the be-all, end-all at the end of the day. There's more important things in life than getting pissed off about a belt. There's more important things in life than getting frustrated about a professional wrestler getting pregnant. Now, I don't agree with everything that goes on in the world of wrestling. I don't. But I'm not about to lower myself by taking shots at certain wrestlers, taking shots at certain promotions. I'm not going to do that by being ignorant, by being stupid, by being a loser, by being a jerk. I'm not going to lower myself by doing that. And some of you wrestling fans, you need to face reality, okay? You need to face reality that this, like I said earlier, this is not important. This wrestling is not that important. We got people dying out here. We got people sick out here. You know, you got bills to pay. You got to worry about putting food on the table for your kids. You got to worry about how you're going to you got to be concerned about how you're going to get your next paycheck. And wrestling shouldn't be at the top of your agenda. I'm the biggest wrestling fan you'll find. I adore wrestling. I love wrestling. But at the end of the day, wrestling is not that important to me to where I want to lose my mind or to where I want to take shots at people because I don't like a certain storyline or because I don't like the way a belt looks, you know. I'm not about to lower myself because stupid, unimportant things like that. So wrestling fans, get it together. Just get it together. And like I said, the majority of you wrestling fans, y'all, you all are spoiled and you come off entitled. You just come off entitled. You come off like the wrestling industry owe you things. Actually, you come off like these professional wrestlers owe you things. These professional wrestlers that are human beings at the end of the day. And I'm not saying it's because of the young lady that committed suicide. I've been wanting to say this for weeks. This has nothing to do with the young lady who committed suicide. This has everything to do with the things I've been seeing for a long time now, and that's you wrestling fans throwing a hissy fit over the littlest things that's not important. This is Russell talking to D with Martez. Don't forget, guys, we have a great lineup, a weekly lineup with a lot of wrestling shows, some shows that are not wrestling related. You got My Two Cents on Wrestling, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. You got Talking with Tisha, 8 p.m. Eastern. You got The Gorilla Position on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And before that, you got the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, which is on 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. You got the Debate on Wrestling, which will be coming back soon. You got the Late Night Discussion, which is airing on this platform. So we have a lot of things going on here, but we like to talk wrestling here. You know, we like to talk about God. We like to talk about wrestling. We like to talk about other sports. And we like to talk about things in life, okay? So if you ever have time, you know, please make us your destination. If you ever have time to listen to us, definitely check us out. All right, I'm going to end the show for tonight. Thank you for listening. This is Russell talking to D with Martez, and I appreciate everybody for listening. Take care, and God bless you, and God be with you.